Hi everyone, welcome back to our podcast, which now has a name. What is it, Will?
Hey, we're talking here.
He sounds just Italian.
I'm sorry.
He was supposed to sound like he's from New York, but there
Well, hey, we're talking here.
Jesus.
It's like The Sopranos, isn't it?
Yeah, okay, if you say so. Today we've got quite a few movies to talk about. It might be quite long, but we've got three movies to talk about, and Will's got some gaming news. So if you want to skip some parts, that's fine. We won't hold it against you, but just to warn you, it might be kind of long because we've got a few reviews to do. But I'm really excited to do this today because I enjoyed it last time. So,
Yeah, it was fun.
and we also have a microphone now, so that's fun. And we're doing it in your room, so we're
Well,
innuendo. Sorry.
I say.
But yeah, we're recording in Will's room today, not mine. So hopefully you won't hear the loud clock in the background that I had last time. So that should be good. Okay, let's get started. So the first one we talk about today was Isle of Dogs, Wes Anderson's new stop motion film. It's actually the longest stop motion film of all time at the moment. I think it
Is
beat
it?
Coraline by about 2 minutes. And we both went to see this week, didn't we?
We did.
I also went to the exhibition with all the puppets and stuff. That was really, really cool. They had like so many of them there, and they were really detailed and they looked really great. So that was amazing. And we're just talking about Fantastic Mr. Fox, aren't we? Because that was his other animated film that he did.
The weirdest film. I
It's
really didn't
really,
like it.
they look really creepy. I like the film, but the puppets look really creepy. Also, it's really interesting that, like, I was telling someone about this the other day that one of the animators was having a go at Wes Anderson because he didn't really seem to direct the movie that much. He actually directed the movie from his like flat. He just did it like on webcam.
Was that Fantastic Mr. Fox?
Yeah,
Oh.
so he was like saying basically that I can't remember, he must have been one of the animators saying that he should have been given a credit because Wes Anderson was never really there on set, and he
Ooh,
directed a lot of the movie
drama.
himself. So it was a bit of a, who's the guy who did Citizen Kane? I can't remember his name right now.
Orson
Everything.
Welles.
Yes. So do you remember like there was that whole situation with like the writer or something, and there was always like a whole thing about who should have got credit for directing the movie or something. There
Yeah.
was just that whole, so it's like that all over again. Anyway,
Snap.
what did you think of the movie? Well.
I thought it was really, really nice. I actually went to see it with my auntie, and she really enjoyed it because she loves dogs.
My
And
dad didn't enjoy it, I don't think. He
ah,
said, he came out and he's like, I nearly fell asleep. And I'm like,
we both
I
agreed it
think,
was a bit too long. Like
yeah.
it kind of had about five different endings. It
Yeah.
went on about 20 minutes too long, but I mean, you could say that about any film,
Yeah, I
really.
actually, there wasn't many people in the cinema I went to, but to be
No,
fair,
see.
it was Easter weekend, so I was like, it was Easter Sunday. But like 3 people walked out and didn't come back.
Really?
And I was like,
Surprising.
I couldn't, I haven't even done that before. Like,
No,
I could have
I'd
done it
feel
with
too
Suicide
awkward.
Squad, but it's just, yeah, I've never actually hated a movie that much, I don't think. I don't understand,
I've
because
got to
like,
get
don't
my
you,
money's worth.
yeah.
I'm gonna stay here
I
out of
mean, look,
principle.
weirdly, the ticket was only £6. I don't know why, but still, even then, I'm just like, I can't walk out. I need to know how it ends,
Yeah.
even if it's terrible.
Can't just look that shit up on
I
Wikipedia.
need like a legit reason to hate it. I have to go the whole way through, but I thought what was really interesting was how in the film the Japanese speaking characters aren't subtitled. They
Yeah.
only you only know what they're saying when they have a character who's an interpreter on there. So it's like you're in the position of the dogs, but it also feels like I hope they have like an extra on the DVD maybe where you can have the subtitles because it feels like you're missing out a little
Yeah, it
bit.
was an odd choice.
I respect the choice and I think it's cool, but I also want like to know what they're saying because I feel like is there like an inside joke I'm missing out on? Like I want to know, like I want to experience all of the film, even the bits that you can kind of get the gist of what they're saying, but it's like I want to know. There's too much mystery. Also, I really love the music in the film. They had like the drums and that, and
Yeah, that was
they
cool.
had that playing throughout the whole exhibition. It was just like head bopping. It was like it was really, really good. So yeah, I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Also, they had like great voice actors. Bryan Cranston,
Bryan Cranston was on point.
can he do like an
They all
audiobook or
were, really.
something? Because I could just fall asleep to his voice. It's so like chill.
Yeah, the acting was superb in the film, I've got to say. Even like the Japanese people, even if you couldn't really understand what they were saying.
That kid.
Not that it was their
The
fault, but
kid was really good.
really, really good.
Yeah. So yeah, it was all good choices all
They
around.
accompanied the animation superbly well, which was
Yeah.
really beautiful
Oh my
to
god.
look at.
Just it must have been it's just so painstaking. Like, can you imagine having just be inside for that long and having to
Yeah.
oh, so good though. like, just even just going to see the exhibition was, like, blew my mind, because it was, like, people have to stand there and just move every look, like, messing up once, you have to do it all over again. That's just insane.
I do think that animation, in particular, stop motion, does not get the respect it deserves. No. I mean, considering Boss Baby was at the Oscars.
I cannot believe
it's
that.
It's completely and ridiculous.
And Lego Batman didn't get nominated.
Shame.
I know the Oscars are stupid and, like, it doesn't matter, but it's just, like, can we at least get recognition for the stuff that is really good? I mean, Boss Baby. I haven't even seen it. I can't really say much. But other than that, like, just from the trailer, I'm sure, I can guarantee that Lego Batman is better. It made me cry so much, that movie. It was too heartfelt, you know? I was just like, it's too much. Also, have you seen Cooper and the Two Strings?
I haven't.
So, like, no one really liked the story too much. I think the thing with these films is, like, you don't focus so much on the story because you see all the work that's gone into it, like, visually, that you're just like, I don't even care. Like, they have a bit at the end of that film where they show, like, all the work that's gone into this one scene with, like, the big skeleton thing. It was, like, the best scene. And it was huge. It was a huge model. And, like, it's just, they had, like, loads of people working, and it was just so cool. I don't know. I was just nerding out about it a lot. It was really good.
I do think the only downside with this film for me is I did really enjoy it, but it kind of, it felt, even though it was constructed beautifully, you could tell that you were watching a movie.
Yeah.
A little bit, like, you didn't really get, it was entertaining and I enjoyed it, but you didn't really get immersed in it.
Yeah.
Like some stop motion animations, like Aardman. Yeah. Animations, you know, Wallace and Gromit is obviously animation, but you get immersed in it. But this was very much, oh, this is beautifully constructed.
Yeah, I guess Wallace obviously is one of those, like, directors where you watch his films and it's like you kind of watch it as a film student, sort of, I guess. Like, you kind of, that's sort of ingrained in you, and you watch his films and you're like, because obviously you look at his films a lot, and, like, you know, when you do film and stuff, so it's like you just automatically go to, like, analyzing everything, and you obviously see so many of his, like, you see all the same things in his films, the things he does, just all in the same, even, like, films are completely different, like this, and then you got, like, the Grand Budapest Hotel or something, and they're just completely different, but you can tell it's made by him.
Yeah,
and you just kind of go into that mode of, like, analyzing it as a Wes Anderson film.
This is very Wes Anderson.
Yeah, it is. He's very unique.
Mm.
Just really good, though.
Yeah, I'd recommend it. Mm. But I don't think we can review it without talking about the little controversy around it.
Really?
It was a couple of people on Twitter and stuff were saying, oh, it's a good film, but, you know, it's cultural appropriation. And
I actually thought it did a really good job. Like, I can't say, because I'm not, you know, from that culture, but, you know, I can't, like, put my hands up and say, oh, this is, like, a really good representation, because I don't know anything. But I thought it seemed quite respectful in what it did.
And I think it was very respectful.
Especially in how they didn't even translate the Japanese. It's like they kept it as pure as possible in that culture. I thought it was really good.
I think there were certain problems. It was a bit problematic, to use my favourite word. Because it had certain stereotypes. Damn straight.
Yeah.
It had certain stereotypes, which were a bit like, okay. There was one which was hilarious, and I don't even care. That can stay in the movie. I think Chloe knows which one. It's the hacker one.
Oh, yeah.
When he just turns around and gives the look, and it's like, oh, my God, this is actually kind of bad, but I love this so much. So there are certain problems, and, like, you know, the mean Japanese mayor.
Yeah.
There are certain problems with it, but I think it was very, for the whole, for the most part, respectful of the sort of, you know, the culture.
Yeah, it seemed to, like, know what it was talking about, I guess, for the most part. I mean, I can't really say too much, but
yeah,
it seemed like it just really, it was really centered around the culture.
I can see where people would be coming from.
Yeah.
I don't think it was perfect. It's not a saint.
Yeah. I mean, there is no way it could be, I don't think. Unless it was made by someone who is, like, from the culture, you know?
Yeah.
but there's no right way you can do it, I don't think. But
no.
I think it did, like, maybe the best that you could. I'm not going to defend it or anything, but
yeah, I would really, really recommend the film. It's a good, how long is it, like, 2 hours?
I think it's about an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
I think I want to look it up. But I think maybe it's less for sort of, I don't know, I'd say it's more of an artsy film, almost.
Yeah.
Like, it's maybe not going to be for everyone, but everyone who appreciates, like, Wes Anderson's film, I think everyone would probably love it like that.
I think, well, the story's so, I mean, you can take it as analogies or whatever, the bloomin' heck, but at the end of the day, when my auntie saw it, she was just like, oh, this is a nice film about a boy trying to find his dog.
Oh, it's so sweet.
And it was just, you know,
yeah,
it was nice. Yeah. It's just a nice little enjoyable film. Anyway, you know, and she hasn't studied film or anything.
I mean, it sounds like you're saying, I love dogs when you say it. So it's like, that's even sweeter.
Exactly.
When I love dogs. Oh, I just realized that. Same.
So, yeah.
Although it's like really funny because, like, really, the whole, you know, getting rid of dog situation, that would never happen. It would be cats, if anything.
Strange.
No one hates dogs that much. Everyone hates cats.
Poor cats. Watch it at some point, even if you don't go to the cinema to see it.
Yeah.
Watch it at some stage, because it's a nice little film.
I think everyone can appreciate the animation, at least, because it is really well done.
The latest bit of gaming news on everyone's mind at the moment, only announced only a couple of days ago, I think it was Thursday, is Spyro. The first three original Spyro games are getting a remaster, which is amazing.
Can you just like quickly explain what it is for me, because I'm an idiot and I don't know what you're talking about? I think I might, but I'm not sure.
I'm sure you must have played at least one in your time. But Spyro is essentially a little purple dragon, and he's a good little fairy.
I think I know. Vaguely. I don't think I've played it, but I think I know what dragon you're talking about.
The first one, the bad guy in it, I think it's Nasty Nork or something, and he's imprisoned all the dragons, and Spyro needs to save them all. And it's just so classic, and it's just so amazing. So, I mean, obviously this must be coming off the fairly recent, about a year ago, success of the remastered Crash Bandicoot trilogy, which was released on PS4 and I think Xbox, and was amazing as well. It was absolutely brilliant. So I think every fan, and even if you're not a fan, is just rejoicing at the moment. They released a little trailer and it looks absolutely amazing. I keep saying amazing, but it is. Amazing is the only word.
He's just so excited about it. You just see his face. He's just like lighting up.
It's just, let's use a different adjective. Fantastic.
We need like a thesaurus because I keep using the word good and amazing and cool. And that's about as far as my vocabulary goes. So I think we should shake it up a little bit.
I think we should.
Should we go with spectacular?
It is spectacular.
Yes. Okay. It might be a bit much, but.
It's not for this news, it's not.
Nope, it's, in fact, some might argue it's not enough.
Damn straight. So it's being remastered by a Skylanders developer. I mean, I never played Skylanders, it's never really my thing, but Crash Bandicoot Remastered was developed by a different Skylanders studio, Vicarious Visions, and that worked out really, really well. So I think it's in a safe pair of hands. And I mean, I watched a small interview. It seems to be very much a project of love for them. They seem to be respecting the source material very, very much. So I think it is in a safe pair of hands. I think it'll be really good. And they mentioned they're trying to work with as many of the original cast members as possible, including the original voice of Spyro the Dragon in the second and third original films. Games, even. Although they bloody well should be a film. Tom Kenny, who is like the fan favourite voice of Spyro. So that's going to be fucking amazing. And I think the only thing that comes to mind to end on is that meme, Avengers Infinity War is the most ambitious crossover. No, it's bloody not.
I love that meme.
It's just fucking fantastic. I don't know if anyone remembers, because I mean, there's... Seeing as this is coming off the success of Crash Bandicoot, I mean, surely it is. I mean, considering the day Crash Bandicoot Remastered came out, everyone was like, yeah, now let's have Spyro. Rightly so. I don't know if anyone remembers the... I think it was Game Boy Games or DS. I think it was Game Boy.
Mm-hmm.
There was like a crossover event between Crash Bandicoot and Spyro. Yeah. So there's always been a bit of a link. It was Crash Purple and Spyro Orange. And they were kind of crap, but they were amazing at the same time. So I think to have these two classic characters and classic games remastered within about a year of each other, it's just great. So I'm very excited for it, and I think you should be too.
So yesterday I went to see Love, Simon, which Will hasn't seen yet. But I really liked it. It's a film about a gay teenager. He's corresponding with like the only he's not the only other, but he's corresponding with this other gay kid at school who's anonymous, and he's been posting online, you know, about how is, you know, struggling with his sexuality and stuff like that, and struggling with the secret. And someone blackmails him with the emails they find, and he ends up having to kind of mess with his friends' lives a little bit to try and keep the emails from leaking. This is also a book as well. I didn't know that until I bought into a bookshop the other day and saw the books there. But yeah, it's actually directed by someone, because you know you wanted to see it because the guy from The Flash is in it.
Yeah,
you know?
So West.
The director is West. Involved with The Flash. He's Greg Berlanti, I want to say. Yeah. So he's like, is he a producer or something, or a showrunner? Or?
I think he's definitely a producer. I think he might be a showrunner.
Something. Yeah, I think he might be. So he's directed the film. So it makes sense, the link there. But yeah, I really like this film. I did cry. Obviously, it's quite personal to me, but there was actually the cinema I go to is always really, really quiet. And this was actually the busiest screening I'd seen in a while. And there was just like this one guy sitting a few seats away from me. He was like middle aged on his own. I was like, I bet he's the kind of person who really needed this when he was a teenager. And it was just really sad. Like you could tell who were the gay kids in the audience because they were just sobbing. And it was really good. So I saw this movie is obviously really, really important. And everyone's really excited because it's, you know, so mainstream. It's just like, it's a studio film. But I saw a post the other day saying about how, it's not that really that amazing as everyone thinks because, you know, there's been queer movies before this. It's like, yeah, but this is like the first mainstream one that's getting all this attention. Like, if you look at like new queer cinema, that's not for everyone, that's specifically for...
It's very niche.
Yeah, it's very niche. It's for gay people. Like, it's made for them specifically.
It's like a mainstream rom-com, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I mean, like, new queer cinema is a way of kind of rebelling against mainstream cinema, in a way. And so I think this is really important because it's for everyone as well. And it helps bridge the gap a little bit. I've seen a lot of stories online about people taking the parents with them, and I kind of it's actually helped them a little bit, and I think that's really sweet, and it's really, really great. Yeah, but it does also apply universally as well. I think that's really great. Also, I really like the actors in it. I think his name is Nick Robinson, I want to say. He was in Jurassic World. He played the older brother in Jurassic World. But yeah, this is like probably his last teenage role, I think, because he's like 22 now. But he saw this role and was like, yeah, this is cool. The guy who's in The Flash, actually, he came out during this movie. He came out as bisexual, I think. And okay. So I think it's really like awesome. I love it. And it is a good movie as well, anyway. Like, it's well done. You know what made me laugh? Was there's two people from 13 Reasons Why in it. And I just...
Were they better in this?
They were good in it. Like, it's not their fault that 13 Reasons Why is terrible. That's for another podcast, though. But, like, yeah, I just see that they're good in this. But I was just, like, reminded of the pain of watching it. But, yeah, it ends really nice. And it's just nice to have a happy love story between... two guys. It doesn't end in death or anything or AIDS, and it's like, nice. I mean, maybe they'll make a sequel and that's how that'll go. But yeah, and yeah, now I just need like a lesbian version.
Well, one step at a time, Claire.
Yeah. Oh, that's too much. That is too much. There'd be too much representation, Will. Damn, God.
Gotta can't be spoiling these innocent minds.
Yeah, I really wanted to go on my own because I knew I was gonna just like start crying, but I knew my sister was gonna kill me if I didn't take her with me, so that happened. And she was just like looking at me like while I was crying. I'm just like, don't look at me. It was so unfair. I was like, don't even. But yeah, I think everyone should go see this movie. I think it's really important that it does well, because you know, the more money it makes, the more stuff we'll get like this. I want all the stuff. So yeah, I think everyone should go see it. It's really good.
Literally about 2 minutes ago, got back from the new refurbished Sutton Empire, having seen A Quiet Place. Now, I think before we start reviewing the film, we just need to do a really quick
review of the cinema.
It was so... It's so... I've been there before. It's my second time
going. Yeah, you've been there once before. Nice. But this was my first time and since it's been done up. And oh my God, it's such a difference. Because before, like, half the seats weren't even in order. Half the seats were covered up because they weren't even, you couldn't even go on in the screens. And now it's like, oh my god, it's like the Queer Eye guys went in there and just redid it. And just like changed
the sofas
every...
and recliners.
Yeah, there. There's sofas in there and they're so comfortable. And like they're not even like, because you know sometimes you sit on sofas and watch movies, you can kind of like you get all, you know, cramped up and stuff, but it's like it was so nice. It was just like the perfect kind of sofa.
Sit back and relax.
Yep, and they have cup holders on the sofas as well. So no need to worry about your drinks.
Exactly. And when someone sits next to you, because there's the armrest, there's so much room.
There is so much leg room as well. I was just stretching out. I was just like, yeah, to get a chill.
I mean, there's as you go in, there's a wall on the right. The wall.
It was gorgeous.
It's just got millions. It had classic film posters.
And they had my favorite movie on there as well, Emily. I was just like, yes, they even put that on there.
It's almost like an independent cinema, like you'd expect in London.
Yeah, and it's just really so nice. Lovely. Even the toilets are really nice. I was like, I went in there. It was like futuristic. They have like automatic
High School Musical
taps.
Playing.
So yeah, that's my review of the cinema bathroom.
Yeah. Go check it out.
Yeah, seriously,
it's really
so good.
Really nice. Also, I think I really hope this isn't just a promotion to like entice you. But even if it is, it's working.
Mm.
If you
I'm pretty sure it's a permanent thing.
I really hope it is permanent. You get 3 hours free parking if you get your ticket validated, if you park in the multi-story car park.
Mm.
It's just the cherry on the cake.
I know, right? Because I don't think it was like that before, but now they must have changed it. I guess now they're probably getting a lot of business that's been all done up again.
Yeah.
So they're probably just like, oh yeah, let's just throw that in there. So
definitely go.
Yeah.
So on to a Quiet Place review. Now, me and Chloe have slightly differing opinions.
Yeah.
In this,
we haven't talked too much about it yet because we wanted to get some juicy stuff on this on the podcast. So, yeah, I really really liked it. You weren't as sold on it.
I wasn't 100% sold. I thought it was really well made.
Mm, for sure,
it had really good qualities to it, but I think it seemed a bit stupid. Like nothing really happened. Like if we're talking solely on story and plot. Nothing happened, and half the things that happened were really like just devices to move the plot on. They were really coincidental.
Mm.
And then the ending, and it, like the solution to the alien problem is like, surely if there's aliens attacking America or wherever the world, surely this solution would have been thought of before.
I don't know. I mean, people are stupid.
I know people are stupid, but it's just it's the most simple solution to the problem that you think some sort of scientist somewhere would have figured it out rather than a girl with a hearing aid.
Don't spoil it.
Well, it's not spoiling it, but it's just a bit weird. I mean, obviously, the fact that it's called A Quiet Place, it has sound in its name. It would have been a bit disappointing if we walked out of there and like, oh, the sound design was really crap. But it wasn't. It was really good.
Okay, so like at the beginning, right? So, you know, one of the girls in it is a deaf character.
Yeah.
And when the camera was on her, it didn't click with me at first, but when it was on her brother, you could hear sort of like ambient noise. Like,
yeah, wind
and then when it was on her, it was completely silent. I was like, is this like an audio problem or something? But then I kind of realized, oh, it's because she's deaf and you're hearing what she's hearing, which is nothing. So I was like, oh, that's clever. I thought that was really good. So like, yeah, even like the Foley effects were really good and stuff. Because I guess you're paying more attention to that when there's no talking really in it. So yeah. That was good.
But I also would counter that with saying, I don't think they made whole use of her as a deaf character not being able to. No, like there was one scene where, without spoiling it, an alien creeped up behind her.
Mm.
And it was over in like 5 seconds. And they could have just done that better or built it up more, in my opinion. Because there wasn't really any need for her to be. Again, there was no need for her to be a deaf character apart from she held the solution.
Yeah, but I think it makes more sense in that they know how to communicate with each other with the sign language.
Exactly,
so
convenient.
It's really convenient that she is deaf. So that's probably how they learned to survive, because she...
Well, yeah.
So that's probably their advantage, that they already knew how to do that. There is at one point where you sort of know where it's going, but I kind of like that, because I was like, oh, now I'm waiting for it to happen. It'll be really sad. But I thought Emily Blunt was really good. They were all really, really... Even the kids were really good.
I don't know his name, but the little boy in it. Not the little boy at the beginning,
yeah.
But the other one, the little brother, was particularly good, I think. He was what I would be like in this situation, just constantly scared.
Yeah, oh, you'd be dead in the first 10 minutes of this movie.
Yeah, like there was a moment in it when the dad was taking him out for his first, I don't know, recon, whatever, his first scavenge. And it's like, oh, there's no need to be scared, son. Yeah, there is, Dad. And it's like, oh my God, that would be me. It's like, there is. There's fucking aliens everywhere. Yeah. There is a new reason to be scared.
Yeah. But,
no, I thought the sound design was really good. It built the tension particularly well in some scenes. Again, I think it could have been made better because, as you said, you kind of knew where it was going a lot of the time.
Mm.
I thought the acting was really, really good.
Yeah, I like that they kind of established the stakes at the beginning of the movie, in the first scene. You kind of go, oh shit, that's what's going down here. It's like, you sort of know that there is a real danger and threat there. They don't hold back, really. So it's like, I like that. This definitely could have been a Cloverfield movie. I'm pretty sure it must have been started out that way. Yeah, so it really would have done. But I like that it's on its own now. I've heard the new Cloverfield is really bad. I've only seen the second one, but that one was really good. So I like those kind of, I guess, restricted movies where they kind of try, like, that kind of gimmick of, you know, oh, there's no, like, talking in this, really.
Yeah.
And they try something new like that, or, like, in the second Cloverfield, it's all in one place or something like that. I think it really, like, makes writers think more outside the box in terms of horror. I think more people are kind of catching on to that, and it's really become an interesting thing.
I think that's definitely what horror needs, and in some respects other genres of cinema needs shaking up a little bit.
But horror in particular, no one takes it seriously, and I think people are starting to, especially after Get Out as well. A
couple of gimmicks.
Yeah. So we need, like, I think it's like starting to become a bit more fresh again. We have some really great movies, and I mean, already at the moment we've got A Quiet Place and Ghost Stories out. So, I mean, at the same time, we've got two really good horror movies out at the same time. And it's like, people are maybe going to pay attention to it now. I hope so.
Yeah, same.
I think it's kind of getting more attention now than it was. Deserves more attention.
Yeah, I would recommend you see it. Because it's a good film. I think
in terms of, like, writing a movie, this would be a really good one to watch. Because it's like,
definitely.
Like I said, it's restricted, and I think stuff like that can make you a better writer, and just paying attention to how they structured the film and how they made it is really interesting. I mean, the screenplay must have been, I think it's about 67 pages long, because there's no, so like, it must have been really interesting to like go from script to actually making it, and directing it as well, because I know John Krasinski, it gave him a writing credit on there, but I know he originally didn't. I think it was originally written by someone else, and then they must have, like, worked on it to become this movie. And he directed it as well, so, and was in it, so it must have been, like, his sort of vision.
His baby.
Yeah. So I really am excited to see if he does any other stuff now.
I hope so.
Because he's clearly talented.
Yeah, he was. It was an interesting film. Yeah. It was well made.
And I actually like that he had Emily Blunt in as well, because obviously they're married in real life, and I think you kind of tell, like, they're really sweet on screen together. And I think that kind of helped as well. They have that kind of chemistry already there. So I was like, oh, sweet.
Again, I would agree. There was definitely the chemistry between them, because there is chemistry between them in real life. But I didn't really feel much for the characters. Apart from the dad, I kind of felt for him at one. I'm not going to spoil it for one bit. It's particularly sad. But it's just kind of like half the problems they bring along themselves. It's like, it's not spoiling it because it's in the trailer, but why have a baby? That's going to be loud, isn't it?
I didn't actually see that in the trailer. I didn't notice she was pregnant.
Oh, she was.
But I was like, in the bathtub, wasn't there? Yeah, oh yeah, that bit was in there, but I didn't realise she was supposed to be pregnant with the film. So yeah, I hope people already knew that. Because I was like, oh my God, what? But then really it kind of brought a whole new thing to the film, and I realised, because I was like, it is, you know, established early on that she's pregnant, so it's fine.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was like, oh crap, that's gonna... First of all, you have to have the baby. First of all, you have to have it. And that's gonna be painful. Then you have to, like, look after the baby, which is, like, known for screaming.
Yeah.
But I like how I like seeing the characters deal with that problem. Like, you know what I love in post-apocalyptic movies? When they have, like, someone's definitely pregnant. You know, like in The Walking Dead. And it's like, why would you... Why?
Why? Why?
Like, I know it was definitely an accident, but, like, come on.
I don't know. They seem like they did it on purpose. They seem just dumb. Mm. But...
Yeah, no, it's not really, like... It's not explained if it was, like... I'm pretty sure it was an accident. It must have been. Who would bring a baby into an alien-infested world?
These two, obviously.
Because they are smart characters. Like, they have...
They're very well prepared.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason they survived that long. Yeah. You know? Even the kids are quite smart. And they're well prepared. So, yeah, it was good. I liked it.
I enjoyed it, but I wasn't... I don't think I'd see it again in a hurry. But I would recommend it. I think it's certainly an interesting film. As you said, if you're kind of studying film or you just kind of want an entertaining night out but you don't really want to be scared too much, because it didn't scare me and I get scared.
You did jump
easily.
A few times, but
well, that's just because they're jump
scares. I think they were quite good jump scares though. Like they didn't overuse it, which I thought would be really easy in this movie to do.
Yeah.
They just kind of use like tension. They built up the tension really well without using jump scares too much. Which I thought was good.
Yeah, it was a good film. It was interesting. So, yeah, definitely go see it.
Next, I wanted to actually talk about a theatre show, a musical, in fact, called The Grinning Man, which is on in London at the moment. Me and Will have both been to see this before. We went to see it quite a few months ago now. It must have been February we went to see it, and then I went to see it another two times. I'm going again on closing night, which is the 5th of May. But I just thought we'd talk about it because... No one really knows about it, and that's sad because it's an amazing show. So, Will, give me your opinions.
Well, I only went to, as you said, I only went to see it once, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was just kind of up my street, kind of black comedy,
yeah.
And a musical.
I was actually surprised by how funny it was, because it's based on a book by Victor Hugo called The Man Who Laughs, which is, and there was also a movie about it before.
Yeah, the silent film.
Yeah, and it's what the joke was based on. It's really interesting. I tried reading the book, but Victor Hugo rambles so much that I was, because sometimes he says something and it's like, I feel it in my soul. And then he'll just ramble on for like 10 pages about nothing. And it's like, I just got so mad. So yeah, I think the show, it managed to condense it quite well. and also the music is amazing.
Yeah, it's very moving, I say. It's very emotional. It's very, I mean, the whole thing is like emotional from start to finish.
Yeah.
It's quite dark and...
Yeah, it's about a guy who, when he was younger, he lost his mom and he was disfigured. He had a smile, like, carved on his face, like the Joker, by someone. He just wants to find out who did it and, you know, get his revenge. And he's in love with... this girl who's like blind and she's trying to help him find out about his past, and it's really, really sad. And it's like, but then the ending is really nice as well. So it's like both really depressing and really uplifting at the same time. They actually mention that at the beginning of the play as well. They're like, you'll find it really gruesome and also like really happy. And it's like, okay, then. Who was your favourite character?
I liked, I can't remember his name. It was so long ago. The clown, the jester guy.
Yeah, everyone likes the clown. He's very funny. He's always
horrible.
Yeah. And there's this bit where, like, you remember in the first song where he's, like, holding the note. Every time I go, I swear he holds it even longer. It's amazing. He's very funny. And my other favourite is the character called David. He's, like, the lord or something.
Oh, yeah, the really camp guy.
He's so funny because he looks exactly like Dennis from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, he did.
And he just makes me laugh so much because, like, I think if Dennis were, like, alive during that time, that is exactly what he would be like. So it's like, even the character. But I feel like that guy was born to play this character. He's so sassy. Every time he's just, like, on point. So good. And the set design as well is really good. Apparently it's the same guy who did the set design for Bat Out of Hell, which,
yeah,
have you seen that?
I haven't seen it, but I've heard it's good.
Yeah. Apparently in that show there's like a second level on the stage and you can't really see it, but they have someone with the camera up there and they show it on the screen or something. My sister's seen it. She's gonna go see it again. But yeah, I thought it was really good. And the way they like, it's quite an interactive show as well.
They step into the audience.
They like literally step on people at one point, I'm sure, but it's really good. And also the lead actor in it, I think his name's Louis Mescal. I'm not sure if it's Louis or Lewis. This is one of those things that plagues my life, is the fact that I never know which way around it is with the spelling, but he is so good. And he's like, his voice is like so unique. And he also just, the way he moves, I swear at one point he's like doing, you know, the Matrix. You know that bit in the Matrix where he's like, there's bullets flying up, and he like leans, but like, he just leans back and like, it's like, how you even do, how is that possible? How is that physically possible?
It ties into the puppetry in the show, doesn't it? So yeah. He's almost like a living puppet.
Yeah, same puppetry as like in Warhorse, the same people who did that. And
it's really good. Remember it being absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, and especially Mojo, which is like a wolf in there.
Yeah, it's like a two-person wolf.
Yeah, it's so good. And last time I went, it was the front part of Mojo was an understudy, and he was like doing really great, and I just really wanted to cheer him on. He was doing great. And yeah, they just, every time you go, it feels special for some reason. There's always something slightly different, or like you notice. And I actually mentioned, because when we went to see the woman who played Daya, who's the blind woman, all the times I went to see it was the understudy, and then the last time it was the actual original cast woman playing it. So that was interesting. She was still good, but I kind of felt attached to the understudy at that point. I was like, I've seen her so many times that I kind of love her now. So, yeah, definitely go see it. It's very, before it closes, because it's
when
like,
when does it close?
5th of May. So I'm going to the very last performance, and I hope they do something special for it.
Well, hopefully it'll be on again.
Yeah, I really want to see the main guy do Sweeney Todd or something. I think that'd be amazing. I just want to like follow what he does now to see like what other shows he's in, because he's really, really good. And apparently the clown was in Doctor Who.
Apparently
he was like the Lord of the Daleks or something. What's his name? I can't remember his name. You would know.
Emperor Daleks?
Possibly. It might have been. But my sister was like, oh, yeah, he's like the leader of the Daleks or something. I was like,
there's
really?
Been so many leaders.
Yeah.
Davros?
Possibly. That's the one I was trying to think of, but I couldn't. I'm not sure.
It could have been.
Yeah, possibly.
Piecing the two together. I'm not sure. Yes. But that's pretty cool. Fun fact.
Yeah, there you go. We also went to see Avenue Q recently. That was good. Just a little mention.
It was
so fun.
My life on the stage.
Apparently they were like an amateur group doing it. And I'm like, you wouldn't even know because they were so good. And it was a really small theatre as well.
It was. I was surprised because I thought it was really, really famous.
Yeah.
But I suppose they've done so many shows now.
Yeah.
Just got to do it wherever's left.
Yeah.
But it was a really, really good show. It was very relatable and
yeah.
funny.
Oh, man.
And smart.
My sister just loves to sing If You Were Gay at me all the time. And one time she sang it to me and I kind of accidentally managed to recreate the scene without knowing it. I was reading a book and she was like, go away and try to read. And apparently that turned out to be like an actual part of the song. And I hadn't even seen it at this point. So she was just like crying because she thought it was so funny. So that's all I have to say about Grinning Man, I think. Yeah, that's
hopefully
it.
Hopefully it'll be back on. So if you don't get a chance to see it when it's back on, if it is.
Yeah, but some of the tickets are like £25, like between Monday and Thursday. If you're under 25, you can get tickets for £25.
That's good.
Yeah, it's really good. We've decided to do this like every other week now, haven't we?
Yeah,
we're not doing it every week.
Realistic though, every week.
Yeah, and I'm also going to attempt to start a YouTube channel. So if I do, I'll
update.
Watch
the space.
Yeah. So next time, is there anything good coming out that we could probably review?
Rampage.
Yes, definitely. I'm so excited about that.
That's going to be amazing.
It's like, it looks like King Kong, but with like Dwayne Johnson, which is like everything I could possibly want.
Double trouble.
Yeah. Oh,
that's going to be
good. I'm so excited. I don't know why. It's probably going to be like average, but I was just like Dwayne Johnson all the way, so I don't even care.
Of course.
So yeah, we'll let you know if we see that.
Yeah.
I actually have a game we'll I could sort of, ooh, really random one that came out in like 2015. I only found it because the band I like at the moment is like, they did the soundtrack for it. And they're like a steampunk band and they're really random. So it's just like this random Swedish game that's just like, I don't know, but I just thought it could be fun. It's like a strategy thing, so I could play a bit more of that. I wasn't going to talk about it this week because I haven't played enough of it yet. But
heard it here first, folks.
We have that to look forward to. You have a reason to keep living.
Yes. So do we, I suppose.
Yeah. Until next time.
Until next time.
Goodbye.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.